August 16th, 2013, UFF, UWF, collective bargaining. I'm Brendan Kelly.
I'm Cindy Farian.
Mike Battamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Lee Gore.
Ray Demian.
John Fink.
Enid Siskin.
Tom Wachlebeck.
Well, we have drafted up a memorandum of understanding, I think it captures what you had provided to us last time with one difference.
Okay.
And that one difference is that the three pages long. I got worried. The one difference is that the $500 that you asked for, we're offering as non-recurring instead of recurring.
Okay.
Yes, I'll take you through it.
Yeah.
It would. We have some whereas clauses that sort of set out what we're kind of doing and why. We know it's going to take weeks, maybe even months, to conclude a contract through these negotiations because of the complexity of our issues, and we don't want to delay the implementation of wages that have been legislatively appropriated, and this will allow us time to do this. And so what it recognizes is that the effective October 1st, those making less than $40,000 will receive $1,400. Those making over 40 will receive $1,000. Regular part-time employees have their increases proportional. Then there's going to be effective July 1st, 2014, a one-time lump sum bonus of $600.
Now that's the legislative bonus,
that's
right?
That's the legislative bonus, right? And that goes to the 35%. We've agreed to the 35% of the bargaining unit. In other words, at least 35% of the bargaining unit will get the bonus.
Okay.
But we won't define it college-wide, which might mean less than 35% of the bargaining unit would get it.
Okay.
And then we have, on that same date, another bonus to everybody in the bargaining unit of $500.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for. I think this is a good step forward into getting a lot of these issues clarified. One of the things that I'd like to just ask you just your thoughts on a little bit about before we kind of caucus and talk about this. I'm interested in your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Is that we were thinking about this, talking about this, the MOA, and my belief is that this also gives us an opportunity maybe to go forward with, to include, there might be some benefits to include the compression consultant in this MOA. And I think the reasons for that that might be beneficial to do that is that it separates the analysis of compression at the university from specifically allotting funds for compression in one lump. It allows us to collect those numbers first, and then to move forward negotiating, bargaining, how to address them.
Yeah. You know, the only concern I have about that, and we don't intend to delay moving forward with the consultant and all that. I don't actually know if we need to have that piece in a collective bargaining agreement because it's never been in a collective bargaining agreement. So it's not like we're changing a term and condition of employment. I mean, to go out and get a consultant certainly might not even be a mandatory subject of bargaining to hire a consultant. But you know, we want to do that collaboratively. We want to do it timely. I don't know if we are at a point where we know exactly how or who or what we're going to do. And I'm kind of concerned that we can, going through that process for the purposes MOU might hold up this MOU.
Okay.
But we still want to, our intent is still to proceed, you know, so that as we're negotiating, the work of the consultant is happening because we see whatever comes from the consultant a necessary piece of the contract that we negotiate.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things, if we can expedite that process of the consultant and separate it from the, while simultaneously allotting funds as we're consulting for getting consultants for the funds, that would be, I think, beneficial.
Yeah.
I think we would need, some sort of, if not in the MOA, just some sort of commitment or something to, you know, that we are going to move forward, could move forward with that.
Okay. I'll talk to my team, but I think we can make that commitment too.
Well, one of the things we would suggest, that we were thinking about ways to address that, just pragmatically, is that we might have each team put forward a consultant. You had mentioned last time, rather than it could potentially bog down in trying to decide on who this consultant should be, right? So you had mentioned last time that in one of the previous meetings that you were familiar with some people at FSU who you might recommend or feel comfortable, the team might feel comfortable with using. We have Lisa Pina, and Tom can talk about Lee's background a little bit.
I met him during the negotiations with Florida State.
Okay, so you know Lee, right?
He came to the table for some reason,
right?
To talk to us about, I don't know what it was. I forget, it's been years, but he came to the table a couple of times to talk to us. So I know who he is.
Oh, okay.
And Lee is the grievance chair for the FSU chapter and the statewide UFF grievance chair.
That's
so one of his areas of expertise, but his other area of expertise is compensation. And I found out recently that that the A&P compensation system at Florida State was designed by him.
Okay.
FSU contracted with him to do it, and he also testifies as an expert witness in compensation studies.
Okay.
So he's got the credentials, I think, and we realize he's one of our advocates, but I think look at Lee's background, you'll see that he's a professional. He'll do a good job, and he'll do an objective job.
Okay.
And so, and he's also at Florida State. So we thought just pragmatically it could potentially work well if they could get together and work collaboratively to
Well, you know, I have not raised any names or possible consultants with either the provost or the president. So, so I'm not... You know, I don't know how. I'm just not at a point where I can really have a substantive discussion about who to use and and what the process would be like. We can certainly take that up, you know, as soon as we start the next session. And then maybe we can bifurcate it from this memorandum, because actually, you know, this memorandum is sort of all about pushing money.
You know, right. It's about pushing money and kicking the can down the road.
Well, but what it's so also about is getting this in a good bargaining schedule.
We're so far
behind, so it's kind of the opposite of pushing it down the road. It's getting us caught up so we can actually plan ahead and budgeting.
Right. We all agree that we think it's smart for you to introduce the concept that we're not bargaining as the calendar is passing us by, but instead we're bargaining for a future goal that allows us the time. And I think that I tried to capture that in here.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, I guess we'll conference and talk about it a little bit. And I bring myself your phone number.
Great.
Yes, of course. First of all, this makes a lot of sense. We really appreciate being able to come to a consensus on this. We had just two small clarification points that we thought. One, we want to make sure that this does not preclude us from negotiating salary for 2014-2015.
Correct.
Okay, and so we would just have some language in there that reflects that.
Okay.
And then the other was, we thought about maybe... because the bonus provided by UWF is in July, and here, if it's possible, it might be a nice good faith effort to have it before Christmas, before break. So it's certainly not a deal breaker by any means, but if there's some possibility to maybe push the bonus up a little bit earlier so it comes around Christmas time, it might be a nice good faith effort. But those were our only two considerations about that. We think this is great. We're happy to sign off on it.
Okay, let's take a caucus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we're back. We were able to get in touch with the people that we needed to get in touch with.
Okay.
And if you go to paragraph 4 on page 3.
Sweet.
We're moving that to December, the first full pay period, December 2013.
Wonderful.
And we clarified that, we attempted in 7 to clarify that this does not include, this is 13-14 and not 14 beyond including wages for 2014, 2015,
okay.
And beyond.
Okay. Right, right.
Excellent.
Okay.
That
sounds great.
That's it. We have one quick question we just forgot to ask. There wasn't language about any sort of merit criteria for that $500 bonus. Was there any, is it just our standard merit criteria that's in our contract?
Or is it just everybody in bargaining set?
Or is it for everyone in the bargaining unit? Or?
I don't know. It's going to be 35% of everybody in the bargaining
unit. Not the 35%.
This 500.
Oh, the 500 is for everybody in the bargaining unit.
Okay.
The only criteria is that they have to be employed as, they got to set to start this year.
Yeah, okay, good. No problem.
That's good.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, this looks great. I think we're ready to sign it.
Okay, great. Okay, there you go.
All right, good work. Thank you guys so much for working with.
I'll get these. My cup.
Yeah.
Do we have two? Do we? I didn't watch the signing. I'm sorry.
Do yes. Yeah. Yeah. We each have to sign one.
This is a full book.
A couple of quick questions or things we're thinking about when you guys were.
Okay.
The first one, we thought that it might be beneficial if. We might consider a second MOA specifically about the consultant.
Okay.
It wouldn't be connected to a bargaining session. But the benefit of having it in an MOA is that we could make it binding. I think that what we want to resist is going and just getting a consultant, having consultant work done that isn't vetted by both teams, and then the teams disagree about the results of that.
Okay.
The
well, you know, and what I'll do is, like I said before, Jonathan, I really haven't had that
absolutely
kind of substantive conversation with the provost or the president. So let me have that, and then I can get back to you on
okay,
that.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we thought that might be an option in between it. Just for informationally, the University of North Florida just did their, they defined how they were going to do their 35%.
Yeah.
The way they did it was used evaluations first, and that winnowed down the field a little bit to maybe 50% of faculty.
Right.
And then once they got to that part, as Brendan knows, our evaluations are qualitative, not quantitative, so it's hard to get an exact 35% number. Then they worked inversely based on salary. So everybody who reached the evaluation level was the first bar, and then they said, okay, we're going to give it to the lowest paid faculty first.
Mm-hmm.
So the exclusion went then to the highest paid faculty for the bonus. So that's how they did it, just for informationally.
Okay, good. I haven't looked at it, but I just saw in an email that was copied to me that UCF submitted their bonus plan today, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
And I know FAU submitted a plan that got rejected by the BOG, and they resubmitted it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's up to the deans to decide.
Okay.
As we said, but that's just informationally. One of the questions we asked on a separate issue is just some clarification specifically about some of the policy changes that we just announced yesterday. We had copies of this they had printed up there, which are helpful. Let's see. Here's a few of it. It was specifically what we were interested in, or just some of the language in.
But you guys share that.
4B was one of them, about the university departments or recognized staff organizations inviting outside speakers must obtain approval from the appropriate dean or associate vice president. So that's something that seemed new to us about departments having to get approval from associates, from deans or vice presidents. About outside speakers, we weren't really sure what the context was on that, or the thinking was on that.
Okay.
And then the other one was.
And there's no criteria.
Thanks. Yes, there's criteria about appeal, but there's no criteria about how those speakers are going to be evaluated.
Okay.
You know, and decision. And then the other one was a question specifically about in Section 5 of the pamphlets, petitions, and distribution of written material. Our concern is how that might impinge on union activity at the university and some of our, things that we do with membership and communication with faculty. So it was just, we're asking for some clarification on that. We're going to put together just some official questions.
Okay, good.
To respond to those.
That would be great. That would be very helpful if you did that. And can I see the contract for a second?
Mm-hmm.
There may be language in the contract already about distribution.
Yeah, there is. If you look at Article 3.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's.
But it says pursuant to normal other groups and by university policies.
Right.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah, because some of those, you know, the policy change has, you know, when you read it, our concern is that it winds up impacting our ability to communicate with our members in the bargaining unit. And you know, for instance, if we wanted to bring an outside speaker to a union meeting at lunchtime, we're going to have to get permission from the university to do that.
Okay, you know. And these are you're going to give us questions.
Yeah. We'll prepare. Yeah. These things just came out yesterday, so we haven't reviewed all of the details, but we'll prepare some questions that those were the things that stood out to us initially.
Good. Okay.
A couple small things. We also have these were just our ground rules we were thinking about proposing. Okay. There's obviously we don't have time to go over those today, and in addition, we don't want to spend a lot of time talking about ground rules,
right? Thank you.
You know, and so these were just some pragmatic suggestions. The ones that are most important is making sure we stick to our twice a month schedule, mm-hmm. And also that all the proposals have to be submitted in writing. Those were the primary ones. Pragmatically, for full book, we thought it might be helpful to submit all of the proposals at once. And then close out ones that we all the articles at once that were to negotiate, and then close out the ones in which we don't have interest in. But that's also not something that we're necessarily it's not necessarily essential to us. We're fine to bargain without them as well. But
okay.
Just things to consider for next time. So we don't spend a lot of time on that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
At the meeting, we can be prepared at our next meeting to put articles forward. So for full book. So we'll have those prepared. If that's a pace you guys, you know, we can go really sort of at a whatever pace best fits that. But we'll, just so you know, we'll have articles ready to open at next meeting.
Good.
If need be.
That sounds great.
And the last was the schedule. You mentioned last meeting about potentially doing like a Thursday, Friday, a back-to-back one. We're certainly open to that. We understand the practicalities, specifically of travel, trying to get here and things. Ideally, it would be best if we could try to do something like a Wednesday and Friday rather than a Thursday and Friday. Just, we want to make sure there's enough time between the two bargaining sessions so that each team will be able to review proposals, to write new proposals, those sort of things. So, we thought that maybe a Wednesday and Friday might work to allow for enough time. If not, you know, we can continue to kind of discuss the individual bargaining sessions, though. Whatever's up to you guys.
Any chance we could set a couple of dates now?
Yeah, I'm setting dates now.
All right.
Okay, let me, why don't we take a caucus for a second?
Okay.
Sounds
great.
Take a quick note of what's going on with my calendar.
Too much technology, Mike.
It's going crazy.
Can I ask you a question about something?
Not right
a
now.
Totally different issue?
Not right now.
Okay.
When I come back,
okay.
When we're done, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we already erased it. It's okay. Here it's Mike Matamor calling. That guy.
It'll have to be the police chiefs.
Yeah,
okay, they suggested 13th, 16th, and 30th of September.
For the Insurance Association.
We want to give it by much of August to get it this MOU ratified, and then go to 13th, 16th,
okay,
30th.
Okay, sure. That sounds fine.
And so 13th, Tom 16th, can't make.
And it's 30th. And then what were your dates in October?
Oh, we didn't do October.
We do, yeah, because we'd like to get that much planned out if we could.
Well, let's bring our calendars or whatnot to the first meeting in September and get October straightened out.
This fine.
All right. Anyway, there's no reason to stop or not do the 13th. I'm just not going to be here. So.
Okay.
So are we doing the 13th?
Yeah, you are. I'm just saying I won't be here, so.
All right. And was that a morning or?
Your 13th.
Yeah. What time did we agree to? I didn't hear.
Put down 13th, Tom not here.
I did. What time?
Don't try to get things
just
signed.
Just so you know, we will not be signing anything until we're 13th.
I'm about
10
o'clock. All right, so
and
10
the 16th is in the 8 p.m.
10 and the 13th?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
16th is when?
It's the Monday, the 16th.
Monday, yeah.
What time y'all want to do
that? That's that following Monday, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm open. I can be over here at 10 o'clock.
Well, we're looking at the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
1 o'clock work on a Monday?
It's fine. Mm-hmm. Monday. I teach Tuesday, Thursday. So that's
good.
Okay.
And then Raid will have to see when he teaches.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We'll work it out. Then.
Okay. The 30th is?
I think it's any time.
Could you? Mm-hmm. What was the 16th again?
1 o'clock.
Thank you.
30th is a Friday?
Yeah.
So I always say 10 a.m.?
Is the 30th a Friday?
No, it's not. It's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
30th is a Monday also.
It's a Monday.
10 a.m.?
10 a.m.?
Okay.
Okay.
I noticed some.
Okay. And how long is the session going to be? Like, I mean,
how long do they would do?
Usually it's 2 hours.
Usually 2 hours. Yeah. Today being an exception.
Well, I was going to say the 30th, you could do a maybe 3 or 4 hours, you know, and get a longer session.
Well, why don't we talk about that on the 13th? Okay. But, I mean, I'm coming over on all those days, so I'm pretty flexible.
All right.
I can.
Does anyone else think it's suspicious that Tom is going to be gone on Friday the 13th?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or that the UFF Senate's on Friday
really?
The
13th. Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Okay.
All right, well, congratulations again.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Okay, now, one quick question, Anita. Back
is this
then,
related to bargaining?
No.
Your question?
No, it is not related to bargaining. It's about a different issue entirely.
Okay, why don't we, then, why are we doing it in this setting?
Because you're here.
Okay, why don't you come talk to me, and let's make an appointment and come talk to me in my office. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
The new parking fees?
Okay.
Back in July 12th, you put out the rule about the new parking fees, and then on August 7th, we drew the regulation that had the parking fees.
That's from last year. All that happened
last year. And there's been nothing, and that's right, there's been nothing about, at least the parking fees for this year are the exact same ones that were noticed in the regulation that was withdrawn last year.
It was later approved. After
it wasn't noticed, it wasn't an email, it wasn't anywhere.
Properly noticed. It was properly noticed. I don't have any of the information with me, but it was all properly noticed. I don't know off the top of my head, but it was properly noticed.
I appreciate it. I won't be getting home until like 7.
Oh,
so
okay.
I appreciate it.
Because I went and did a search on that on
they would be grateful.
And then I could not find it since the withdrawal.
You need to keep all that sugar to keep yourself up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thanks.